Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you for the next 2 hours, getting you ready for the remaining drafts in your NFL world and talking about NFL and Major League Baseball trades in action. George, I'm hyped. Are you hyped? I'm ready. Let's go.
Good morning. And an interesting weekend, the last free weekend for us, right? After this, football starts on Thursday night. Cut-down day was yesterday. Exciting weekend in the NFL.
It is exciting. Lots to talk about around cut-down day. Some trades have been made during the week. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater moving on. Some trades in Major League Baseball as well. George and I were talking over the week and thought some interesting things could happen, and we did see that. Josh Donaldson being moved, Gio Gonzalez being moved. We'll talk about those later on. George, what has your eye right now? What moves in the NFL or what roster moves are you still waiting to see from a, those folks out there drafting right now, those getting ready for their drafts over Labor Day weekend? Is there any news you're waiting to see how things might shake out in a certain positional battle or something this weekend?
Well, I don't know, and your standard leagues, if there's any big move that's coming this weekend that's going to change your draft strategy. Not unless playing IDP leagues. And I do. I'm a big proponent of IDP leagues, and I'm waiting for Khalil Mack. We heard a lot of rumors yesterday, a lot of rumors that a deal is probably too strong a word, but could happen this weekend. It's not working out between the Raiders and Mack. They're not even negotiating, and they haven't in months. So it seems to me they're both in a stalemate here, and one of the best players in defensive players in the NFL, could be on the move.
Yep, I saw yesterday there were a couple of articles, I think NFL.com, I think NBC had one, about plenty of suitors lining up for Khalil Mack. You did have some Raiders broadcasters saying that he will not be traded. So you take that with a grain of salt when the hometown broadcast team is saying he won't be traded. But nonetheless, he could have an obvious influence on any team out there with his skill as a pass rusher. You also saw any thoughts on the Aaron Donald deal there, George? Obviously getting paid very well there by the Rams. I know people had complaints about in what order the Rams paid their stars, but obviously now they are all on board and ready to make a run at it probably over the next 2 to 3 years as you still have your stud running back and your quarterback who's growing.
They're a scary team. I mean, as far as the my feelings, I'm glad it got done. It's about time. I mean, the man is he's not the best defensive player in the NFL. He's top three, top five, so he deserved the money he got. Good for the Rams for getting it done. If all these free agents on defense that they sign, Ndamukong Suh, Peters, if this all works out and these guys all mesh, we know the offense is going to be good. This team good luck trying to knock them off in the NFC.
What's your thoughts on Sue at this point? I feel like he's just somebody who's become, you hear in the intro about Brandon Cooks moving on from so many different teams. Sue has become that guy almost frowned upon by a lot of NFL fans for his antics on the field. Do you think this is the right fit? Do you think this is finally a home and he's grown up? Or do you think this is another place he wears out his welcome?
Well, this would be the first team he's been on that's good. All right? I'm not trying to knock the Lions and Dolphins. I'm really not. The Lions were an okay team, but not a good to great team. The Dolphins, well, they have their issues, and they're going to be a dumpster fire this year. The Rams are a Super Bowl contender. He's not the guy here. That's Aaron Donald. He's sort of the afterthought here, right? I mean, you ask a normal fans where is Sue playing. It'll take him a second to think about it.
Yep.
And then, oh, yeah, it's the Rams. That's right. He signed there. And they have. Aaron Donald is the man there. It's not Sue. Yeah, I think his antics on the field, you know, the personal foul penalties, the stupid stuff. I think that's really gone away anyway. He really hasn't done that in a couple of years with the Dolphins because he's pretty much in obscurity because the Dolphins aren't that great a team. I think it still goes away now. I think now he understands. You're not the man. You can't afford to take stupid penalties here. Play your game. You're not going to be double covered all that much because teams sort of pick their poison. If we double cover you, it means we're letting Aaron Donald run free. Can't do that. So these two in the middle are going to wreak havoc in the NFL.
It's an intriguing, you mentioned IDP. Sue is actually a really intriguing play there just because of the hope that skill set overcomes and he doesn't see those double teams he may have been seeing early on in his career because of the other skill players on that defensive side of the ball for the Rams. And all of a sudden, this may be that sort of upside swing for Sue where it does all come together. So a great point there, and one that if you're playing IDP this weekend, bless your soul. I have not gotten into an IDP draft this year, but it is a fun way to go about it. I've seen a bit of strategy around trying not to reach on safeties in IDP. Don't know if that's something you stick to George, but it can often overvalue safeties in IDP. But I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the cuts we saw this weekend. Guys who I think will get at least signed to practice squads or brought in when injuries happen. Braxton Miller cut by the Houston Texans, the former Ohio State quarterback turned wide receiver, turned slot receiver, cut there. Jeff Janis, a stalwart of preseason football for the past couple of years for the Packers, was cut by the Browns. Not really surprising there, as the Browns honestly are pretty darn deep at wide receiver. Then you have Brandon Tate, Michael Floyd, released by the New Orleans Saints. Also not entirely surprising there with the depth they have. Do you see any of those guys latching on somewhere as potential, you know, you talk about sleepers and drafts, flyers as free agent ads later on this year, spending some fab maybe on week 3, 4, or 5 on somebody who catches on because of an injury? Any of those four names interest you at all?
Probably not, because you got to remember, not this early in the season, not September anyway, maybe November if they hook up with another team. They got to learn the offense of a new team. Then they got to get the trust, and they got to get the playing time. And you know, we don't know if any of that's coming here. I imagine most of those players will hook up with somebody. There'll be injuries that happen during the season. They may sign next week. I mean, some of these guys might have been released just to, if they sign at the week one, they're not guaranteed the money.
Right.
So that could be a play in, part of it as well. Maybe they'll sign back with their original teams. You know, obviously anybody playing with Drew Brees in New Orleans, it raises the antenna about what might happen there. But none of these guys obviously is imperative to their team. You know, if they do resign, if they were, they wouldn't have been released. You know, Will Fuller, Braxton Miller. Will Fuller I'm very high on, so I was happy to see him
sure.
go. Braxton Miller is probably maybe the biggest surprise. And I don't even know if I'd call that a shock, but maybe the biggest surprise there that he was released, that they gave up on him. And I don't blame them for doing so, but I didn't think they'd let him go. Tate. No, Michael Floyd, he'll definitely end up with somebody because he just seems to always end up with somebody. And that team seems to always go pretty far in the playoffs as well.
Alshon Jeffery passed his physical for his shoulder. Still coming off the PUP list. Doesn't look like he'll be playing the first 2 weeks. I'm a big Nelson Aguilar fan to begin with. This is a season where I thought last year he had those sort of outside or peripheral metrics that pointed to a continuing career of slot receiving and just being the guy. I know his separation is great there in Philadelphia as well, which obviously you hear over and over again from quarterbacks and defensive backs. If a wide receiver can get separation in the NFL, it's such a huge advantage, obviously. Are you in on Nelson Aguilar this year, and are you out on Alshon Jeffery because of the injury, or do you see this Eagles offense continuing to do big things and maybe have shares of both?
Well, the Eagles offense is a bit of a mess right now, right? I mean, you just discussed Jeffery, and we don't really know when he'll return. You know, we're guessing week 3, week 2, week 5. We don't know. What kind of shape's he in? Yeah, so we don't know this. We don't know who's starting a quarterback in week 1. Right, they can get very close to the vest. You know, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles. Nick Foles has his issues as well with the shoulder. Can he last the game? So we don't know what's going to happen Thursday, as far as the Eagles are concerned. Am I on board with Aguilar? Sure. I mean, to a degree, you know, I'm on board. I think the points are going to be there, no matter who the quarterback is there. So I'm not afraid of Aguilar, and I've got him in at least 2 leagues that I can think of. So I'm certainly expecting a good to solid season from Aguilar. Jeffrey's more the interesting one. I've got him, once again, in a couple of leagues as well. Now, one's a dynasty league. I've had him forever, so nothing I can do there. And I drafted him in another league or two, mainly because the value was there. he's still there in round 11, round 12. Can't pass that up. He's not, obviously, at round 11, round 12, he's not starting for me. I don't need him to start for me. You know, I need him to cover injuries and bye weeks and see if he ends up being the hot guy. So, and I think he'll be inconsistent this season. I don't think he'll be, like I said, even when he's deemed healthy and he's playing, I don't think he'll be an automatic start for me week in, week out over the other guys I have. I think he'll be somebody I'll look at the matchups. But I think what's going to be difficult with Philadelphia is, well, you got Aguilar. You got Jeffrey. You got Mike Wallace, who's going to be another deep threat. And we all know Zach Ertz is getting more than his share, fair share of balls.
Yep.
And they got a pretty good running game. Are there enough footballs to go around to please everybody? I don't think so.
It's always that analysis that you have to go through of are the targets going to be there for the wide receivers and tight ends? The Eagles were a team that showed last year they were happy to go for it on fourth down, which you like because that means there are more opportunities, more at least potential opportunities as they pick up more first downs than the normal team. Now, that's, you know, minuscule numbers over the course of a season, but maybe it's four or five extra plays here or there, maybe five or six, and obviously that can turn into more targets. But it's a thought process worth going through on whether or not you think between Foles and Wentz, obviously as Wentz battles back from the ACL and Foles is dealing with the injury you were talking about, and skill set wise, can Foles, you know, mimic what he did last year in the playoff run? Is there enough to go around? I'm high on Aguilar, especially at current and what his probably final ADP will be this year, of 42nd wide receiver off the board, I think is more than palatable as a potential, and this is looking at fantasypros.com's overall ADP, average ADP across multiple platforms. He's around Kelvin Benjamin, Jamison Crowder, Robbie Anderson, Sterling Shepard. These are all guys with upside. Like, don't get me wrong, I think any of these guys, Kenny Stills is down here as well. So they're guys that have been talked about and talked about again when it comes to breakout potential. But I like Aguilar at that price point. I think it's kind of hard to go wrong. Well, obviously you can go wrong with any wide receiver, but comparatively, I think you have upside amongst all these guys down here as a big potential to get things done as you're going through your drafts. Looks like the Ravens are getting some interest on Robert Griffin III. I didn't see much of his preseason games. I know he's a guy that has become a leader for the Ravens in the locker room, and they have seen him help to mentor some of the younger QBs there. You saw Teddy Bridgewater get traded. I do want to talk later on about backup quarterbacks. What do you think about a team out there looking for a backup QB? You could probably do a lot worse than RG3, right? But do you have any faith that if that QB went down, Robert Griffin III could lead your NFL team to any sort of victories this year?
He's had a very good camp. He's showing, you mentioned leadership, but he's showing being a veteran. Poise, throwing the ball, he looked good, getting rid of the ball on time, hitting his receivers in stride, that sort of thing. I mean, it would depend on what team he goes to, about how much damage he could do. I don't know if the Ravens, I think they'd like to trade him, sure, but they're not going to get a Teddy Bridgewater. You're not getting a third-round pick for RG3. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is a little different in the fact that people view him as a starter. Again, you know, that he has the... I guess he has that. They think he has a future. RG3's future is as a backup. So they're not going to get a big-time pick for him. So if that's what they're waiting for, you know, they're going to wait a long time. So I'm curious to see, will they trade him for a conditional 7th, 6th, 5th? What do they think they're going to get here? What team is looking for that backup? You know, the Saints made perfect sense for when you think about it with Teddy Bridgewater because, hey, you need someone who can cover in case Drew Brees misses a couple of games. If Drew Brees is out after week 3 and he's gone for the season, well, then the Saints are toast. You know, you're not going to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback. We saw what happened last year with Aaron Rodgers. Even if they had a better backup than Hundley last year, they wouldn't have done much. When your team is built around the quarterback, which Green Bay is, you know, he gets hurt and he's going to miss 9-10 games. You're toast. RG3 is a guy, I think he's a caretaker, a guy who could certainly, if your quarterback's out 3 or 4 games, could split, go 2-2. You know, obviously, depending on schedule, depending on how the rest of the team plays. But I think that's how teams will view him as, someone who's probably better than your backup. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan. RG3 is certainly better than Cooper Rush or Mike White. Easily better. So the Cowboys might be interested. And I think that's the way you'll see it go. Is he better than our backup? And are we a playoff contender? You know, so if we are a playoff contender and he's better than our backup, well, then he can help us. You know, I think that's that sort of thing. Now we'll contact Baltimore, see what they're looking for. You know, is their asking price outrageous? If it is, all right. We checked in. We did our due diligence. Now we move on. I think you'll see quite a few teams do that.
Yeah, the note from Ian Rappaport was Dallas, Miami, and Jacksonville as possible Griffin landing spots. Could be intriguing there in Dallas, though the wide receivers scare the hell out of me. But I do think that he could have some time to play there depending on injuries and what mop-up duty would end up coming to be. Obviously not on the fantasy radar, just more an NFL discussion there. As we continue to look at news and notes around the NFL, as we kick off your Saturday morning here on Fantasy Sports Today. Looks like Shane Vereen placed on injured reserve. Don't think that's going to influence much at all. We talked about Khalil Mack already. Interesting note from Tampa Bay as general manager Jason Licht would not guarantee Jameis Winston will be the starter when he returns from suspension in week number four. George, coming up on break here, can take this one over to the next segment, but this is one of those spots I've struggled with, and we talked about it last week when I appeared as a guest with you and Mike. I've struggled with how to gauge this Tampa Bay offense. I love Mike Evans. I love Godwin. I love these guys. I don't know that we're going to get what we expect here with Fitzpatrick and others potentially taking over for Winston. Is this a concern of yours?
Hey, Winston's had a very good camp. All that comment was by the GM was, you know, hey, you stay in shape and you keep working out during the next 3 weeks. That's all that was. All right, Winston will be back in week four. And Winston, fantasy-wise, was fine last year. Now, we're talking about before that. There's a reason Mike Evans fell in drafts. You know, where he's going, instead of maybe early second round, he went to late second round. We'll talk about this more after the break. But to answer your question, you have to be concerned, yes. I think there'll be a big chance of rustiness even before and after. And I think Tampa Bay is another team that's really already looking forward to 2019.
Coming back with more right here on FNTSY. It's Fantasy Sports Day. It's Dan Strapper, George Kurtz. We're looking for you. 844-843-6879.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Day, Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you. Getting ready for some of those drafts you may be taking part in over this Labor Day weekend. George, do you have any more on tap, or are you all done for the preseason getting ready for the NFL?
I believe I'm done. I've tried to calm down over the last probably 3, 4, 5 years. There was a time where I might play in 20, 25 leagues.
Sure.
And, it's got to the point where I love draft day. There's nothing like draft day for me. I love drafting my teams. But it's the fab during the week. If you're in so many leagues, I don't know how you do it where you keep track of, oh, okay, this one's at 5 o'clock, this one's at 11 o'clock, this one's Tuesday, this one's Thursday. And then you got first come, first serve. And then doing what we do, Sunday mornings are extremely busy. I mean, I'm between answering questions that people are asking about their starting lineups, if I have a radio show, if I have writing to do, or which is possible, or maybe all three, and then you get that late inactive at 12:15. Now I got to go through 25 rosters to figure out, you know, what I got to do here. No, I learned a while back that I think I'm a better player if I play in less leagues. So as far as regular leagues, I think I'm only in 5. That doesn't include best ball. You know, I'm in a bunch of those sure. NFCs, yes, where you draft it and leave it. You don't have to worry about it because I don't have to worry about it after the draft. So I'm in plenty of those, and I will play DFS. And, you know, if they ever figure out this gambling thing, I wouldn't mind putting a few bucks on a couple of games here and there. But as far as, like I said, regular leagues that I have to worry about, draft, and pay attention to, I'm down to 5, and 2 of those are my home leagues.
Makes sense. I'm completely with you there on the FOB, as that during baseball season just ruined me in a few different leagues. One was at 6 o'clock on Sunday, one was at 8, one was at 10. And you get through your day and you have a family, you're out working, you're doing whatever. And all of a sudden you look at the email when it comes in at 6:01, that transactions already ran, and you realize that you're going to be behind yet another week. Football, not too dissimilar there. Obviously it's a weekly league, but still can be a little overwhelming when you're in too many leagues and trying to keep track of it all. You almost need like a fantasy football assistant when you're in that many leagues. Like, you need somebody who's like crunching the numbers in a spreadsheet for you and can just flag it for you, George. So maybe we can put out the call for someone out there in Twitter to see if anybody would be interested in being George's fantasy football assistant. Do you like the idea of that? Or
Jim Day, who's a frequent guest on our shows. He plays in an incredible amount of leagues. I'm talking, at one time years ago, it was over 100. I'm like, how the hell do you do this, man? I mean, really, how do you, I mean, do you have an assist? Do you have some kind of magic spreadsheet that automatically changes your lineup when, you know, LeSean McCoy's out and you find it at 12:30 on a Sunday? You know how many leagues he's in and what leagues you can go to them? I mean, I could never understand how that gets done, how you're not taking zeros sometimes because you forgot to change a player. Yeah, and that's what annoys me. I don't want to be that guy who starts a player who's not playing, and I knew about it because it makes me mad. You know, as you mentioned, I get mad at myself. Oh man, how did I do that? How did I? When you miss fab, it drives you insane. By the way, and we've all missed fab. Sometimes it's, oh man, I thought it was at 10, it was at 9 Eastern. Damn it, you know it. It'll ruin my night. So that's another reason I've calmed things down a bit.
Yeah, it's a good call, and I think you're also right with the you find you're a better player when you're playing in less. It's just one skill set wise, you're not trying to, you know, everyone gets into the mode of, well, I already have 7 share, and I know some people don't love the idea of using shares, but 7 shares of this player in 20 of my leagues, that's enough exposure. Instead of going into a draft with a clean slate, right? Like not caring about anything else you've drafted thus far. Now, obviously, best ball and drafting again in best ball is a little different. It does handle a little bit more like DFS over the long haul. So I can understand exposures and trying to be there. But people do that with regular NFL drafts. And yeah, maybe from a rooting interest, you want to spread out who you're rooting for every Sunday. But eventually it just becomes you're rooting for everybody. Like there's nothing that can go right or wrong that will benefit you. And that's not fun anymore either. And you make the point of just... being in less leagues makes you better. I'm right there with you. It allows you to really focus in. I have 3 fantasy football leagues this year. I'm more invested in fantasy baseball this year. But fantasy football, I have 3 leagues, 2 home leagues, 1 best ball league. And that's what I look to be in. And really, maybe not dominate them, to use a bad term overused in fantasy sports, but really be involved in them and enjoy them week over week, not just try to focus on what it is and how it's going to be over the course of a season. So I did want to talk, get your take here, George, on handcuffing. And it's one of those debates that has been going on as long as fantasy football has. But as, you know, data becomes more regularly available and as ADP is so honed in, I find that it's such an interesting discussion on whether or not you should, depending on your viewpoint, take a backup just in case your star gets hurt. Maybe it's a running back by committee where you think week over week you might have a chance. And again, sort of putting best ball to the side here because of the way that functions. But do you feel that handcuffing is viable? Or are you somebody who says, listen, I want to take with every pick a starter, even if it's a, you know, number 2 wide receiver on a bad team, I'd rather get starter reps than have somebody on my bench that's a handcuff? Or, as I was saying, do you feel that having Todd Gurley's backup or David Johnson's backup or someone who could step in when injury happens is more important with your fantasy football teams?
I don't think there's one answer here that covers every league. My first thing would be, if you're in a normal league where you have 5 or less bench spots, if you have 8, 10, do whatever you want to do. You have plenty of bench spots to go around. But if you only have 5, which that's about what most normal leagues do, maybe even less. So 5 or less, I'm not taking a pure handcuff. And you mentioned it. Take Todd Gurley's handcuff. Take Le'Veon Bell's handcuff. And that's James Conner, by the way. Or taking Ezekiel Elliott's. You can go on and on. David Johnson's. You know, the reason being is this. During those bye weeks, guess who you're cutting first? When you need a player to put in there, you're going to put you're cutting the guy who's not giving you any points the first 3 weeks. That's what you're going to do. So you could say it now. No, I'm going to keep him. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to keep him. No, you're not. Because you're going to look at week 4, maybe you're 1-2. Week 5, whatever, you're 1-3. You need a win here. And you go, oh, man, if I don't cut this guy, I'm going to take a 0. I've got to cut another guy who's been useful for me. That's the first thing you're going to do. And in today's NFL, the game has changed. Most teams, outside of the handcuffs I just named, have some kind of running back by committee. They have a 3rd down back. They have a guy they're going to split carries. Yes, they have a starter, but the other guy gets 30% of the carries. That's just the way they do it today. There's no Emmitt Smiths, no Barry Sanders. The game has changed. And there's nobody touching the ball 25, 30 times a game anymore. You know, it's just not going to happen, which means there are a lot of running backs that have value. Pure handcuffs don't unless there's an injury. And I want those points. So, yes, to answer your question, I'm not going to handcuff. I almost never do unless, like I said, it's in a deeper league, a deeper reserve league. That being said, if you're of a type of owner that, you know, you drafted Le'Veon Bell and he gets hurt and you could have drafted Connor and you didn't, you're going to now bang your head against the wall or jump off a roof or jump off a bridge, then go ahead, draft the handcuff. If you're going to sleep better at night knowing you have the handcuff, do it. Listen, fantasy is meant to be fun. You know, that's the idea here. You know, so if you feel much better about your team having a handcuff, go ahead and get it. For me, I know. Listen, hey, I got Bell. He got hurt. Damn. Oh well. You know, next man up. I don't have Connor. You know, so I'm not going to worry about it. The other thing that goes into my head is this: you know, even if you draft a handcuff, what makes you think the handcuff's anywhere near as good as the starter? Yeah, sure, if he has a good offensive line, you think Dallas, he'll still do some damage, sure, but he's not going to get the same amount of points there. He's not the same player. You know, that might be different. Maybe Edmonds in Arizona, I really like this kid. I think this kid could be something, but still, he's a handcuff. Yeah, but that's the other thing going into my mind. So now, not only do I have to see if my starter gets hurt, now I have to hope the backup plays and plays well? No. I'd much rather have somebody who can help me during my bye weeks, week in and week out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I almost said waste the pick. No pick is wasted. No pick is wasted. But I'd rather go after, as I said before, a wide receiver two on a bad team or a tight end that I haven't drafted yet than trying to gauge the injury potential of my first or second round pick. It's just that for me, talking about fun, that's just already assuming that football is a brutal sport, that all of my top players are going to be injured, which is potential. Like, hey, we all know that it is a brutal sport and it is one that injuries happen in, but I'd rather go after it and try to get every draft slot the highest value out of it. Good buddy of both of ours, Joe Pizapia with RPV, the idea of relative position value. I love the idea of draft value, and I know everyone does, but like, I really want to every round try to exceed the value, exceed ADP, exceed the projection. And picking a handcuff rarely ever does that. I do love John Kelly out there in LA. I mean, that I can finally use the kid. I'm 15 years older than him. So that kid, just he gets it done. And an embarrassment of riches there in the backfield. Now, do I think he is Todd Gurley level? No, of course not. But he's been a lot of fun to watch in the preseason. The skill set seems to be there. The elusiveness seems to be there. So if Gurley were to go down, do I think the Rams take a big hit? Absolutely. But it seems as though they found a very, very backup there at pick 176 in the draft with John Kelly out of Tennessee. I wonder, as we talk through here, handcuffing, the NFL does it obviously with backups at each position, George, and we talked a bit before about the Bridgewater deal and RG3 moving on. Talked about Jameis Winston. Obviously, you have Fitzpatrick there in. What quarterback, what backup quarterback to you is in the best situation to potentially succeed? Is it Teddy Bridgewater? That's probably who I would put forward. Obviously, the system there, the skill players on offense are higher end, and it's a team that we know is going to throw the football. Do you think that's the best situation for a backup quarterback? Talking about handcuffing, talking about backups. Do you think that's the best situation for a backup quarterback in the NFL, or do you see potentially a better skilled quarterback somewhere that could step in and be, I guess it might be Josh McCown in New York, if you think of it that way, because of the ability to step in and play right away. He showed it last year. But what do you got here as your best, I guess, best backup quarterback and best backup quarterback situation in the NFL?
Well, I don't think it could be Bridgewater. There's no way he knows the system.
Sure.
No way. You know, so I don't think it could be Bridgewater. I think you need a backup who's been there with the team for a couple of years, obviously has some skill, which I understand is probably asking a lot. And, the rookies come to mind first. I mean, I think the first person you have to go to is probably Fitzpatrick, because he's going to play three games. You know he's starting three. I don't think he starts much after that, but he's starting three. He's got some pretty good weapons. Got Mike Evans. You know, you got DeSean Jackson. I'm a big Chris Godwin fan. You know, the running game, okay, is Ronald Jones not looking like a great back right now, but still Peyton Barber, Jones, Jacquizz Rodgers, it's still formidable. So I might go Fitzpatrick, I think you have to, actually, because he's going to start three games. And I'm going through the rest of the league now looking for another great backup situation. All right, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Foles did win a Super Bowl. Granted, I think he sold his soul to the devil. You know, I think he I do. I truly do. I'm still shocked. And, you know, you watch late last year. Like week 16, I think it was versus Dallas, week 17 versus Oakland, or it might have been reversed. It might have been week 16 versus Oakland, 17 versus Dallas. He was horrible. I mean, he was awful. So much so that I didn't think they'd win a playoff game. Now, granted, those two games that I mentioned were played in brutal weather. It was cold. You know, I mean, it had to be somewhere around zero or something like that with the wind chill. It was just damn cold. So maybe that played a part in it as well. But still, another guy, he knows the offense, knows the team. And they got pretty damn good weapons there. And he might start a week or two. You know, we don't know what's going to happen there. I'm looking at other teams here, and I don't see really anybody else. I don't trust Sean Kizer in Green Bay if anybody's thinking that. I guess Hoyer with New England, but I think that's all about Tom Brady. I think Brady goes down. That whole team is sort of down the tubes there. The rookies, I don't think any of the rookies truly accept. Baker Mayfield, I think, deserves to start, but it's Tyrod Taylor's job there. And that is all I have for you.
You're not a Nathan Peterman fan?
You know, no. I can't imagine why. Sorry, Gabe. Nathan Peterman, he won't be as bad as he was last year. Everyone's sticking with the one
hope.
Game where he threw 17 interceptions.
Hope, man.
He can't be that bad. The arrow's pointing up, right? You know, I was surprised that the Bengals, I don't want to say gave up on McCarron, but didn't give him a better chance here. At this point, we know what Dalton is. Really, maybe a little bit better than average quarterback who's never going to bring you anywhere. I would have liked to have seen what McCarron could have done there. He knew the system, knew the players. I just would have liked to have seen that he could have been something better than Andy Dalton. In the end, he was ruled a free agent due to what, a little... a strange thing in playing, I guess, when he was redshirted 1 year, whatever.
Yep.
And he's a free agent. He's back on Buffalo now. But I would have liked to have seen what he could have done with Cincinnati. I think he actually is a decent quarterback. But the Buffalo Bills, Dan, I'm very happy that they made the playoffs last year because they're not going to sniff a playoff spot this year.
That's a rough squad. Like, you look up and down that roster, there is a lot to dislike if you're a Bills fan, and if you are a DFS player, a lot to like when they're opposing the defense you may want to play. There should be some upside definitely there. It's amazing. I asked you the question, and I do think it's the Eagles sort of number one. Obviously, with Nick Foles, you throw Ryan Fitzpatrick in there as the backup in Tampa Bay. You made mention of Tyrod and Baker Mayfield. It still is the Browns, and I do think the Browns are going to get better this year and then even better next year. I think this is a team that has the talent if Hugh Jackson can get out of his own way or be fired. They'll be fine. And I think they'll honestly potentially be a playoff team next year. The way the NFL ebbs and flows and the talent they have on staff on the roster there, I think they're a legitimate upside play. So I think Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield, whoever ends up being the backup long-term this season. You mentioned, I mentioned the Jets before, Josh McCown I'd throw in there. But it really does show in a quarterback league how few quality backups there are. Now, you take a backup and say, hey, here's your clipboard, do your job, that's fine. And there are plenty of guys who can do that or come in and kneel the ball or come in and maybe hand it off three times while your quarterback needs to get a breather. But as you look through, Chase Daniel, maybe, there in Chicago behind Trubisky, that could be somebody who could, again, maybe play for a half or a game and get it done. But there's no one here that really stands out. I was a big Cody Kessler fan in Cleveland, so I don't know if he's somebody that can grade out as being a decent play there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know so many people want Blake Bortles to go away. It's pretty amazing watching that. We'll keep an eye on these backups. And obviously, as the season goes on and we try to figure out where the best players are, I know the Giants were high on Davis Webb, hence them going with Saquon Barkley in the first round. But nonetheless, backups do matter. It may not matter here on draft weekend, in Labor Day weekend, and as you start the year. But as I made mention before, football being such a brutal sport, you're going to have to be aware of these rosters and be aware of the backups. Whether you're playing in a first-come, first-served league or you're playing in a fab league, you're going to have to be aware of where the backups are, what the potential upside is before they ever take a snap, most likely, because injuries happen. And, you know, maybe you have the emergency quarterback go in for one reason or another. Same with wide receivers and running backs. You may not see the backup right away in a game. You may not get to eyeball test them. You're going to need to be aware of the situation. Pay attention to preseason stats. Be aware of all of these things. And George made the great point before with handcuffs. If you're handcuffing in that week one, you need to pick somebody up. That's probably who you're going to drop. So you're going to want to be aware of that and be on top of it as you go through all your drafts and go through all your preparation for the season. Just because your draft is over, preparation isn't done quite yet. We have plenty still to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz talking about the NFL. And next up, we'll talk about Major League Baseball, a couple of trades on Friday that will influence some of your fantasy rosters here in September. Back with more after this on Fantasy Sports Today.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. My Sharona, Dan Strafford, and George Kurtz getting you ready for any NFL draft that you still have on tap. But, George, want to circle back here to my, and I'll be honest, full disclosure, my first passion, fantasy baseball, where we did have a couple of moves on Friday as the waiver deadline came to pass. August 31st, anybody not on your roster by August 31st. And that means any part of your organization can be a minor leaguer, can be 40-man roster, but needs to be part of your organization by August 31st, cannot participate in the postseason. So obviously deals were done with an eye on the postseason, with Josh Donaldson being sort of the biggest name. I don't know if it's going to be the biggest pickup, but the biggest name on the move. There was questions on whether or not Toronto should make a qualifying offer to Josh Donaldson, get the draft pick if he went somewhere else after the season ended. Instead, they got Donaldson moved through waivers. He cleared waivers and then was traded to the Cleveland Indians. Now, George Donaldson's been injured. I know he was taken out of his rehab start. I don't know if that was because of the potential trades, but it does look like you'll get Donaldson at third base, Jose Ramirez at second base, and Jason Kipnis back to the outfield for the Indians here. Are you buying Donaldson as part of this lineup, and do you think that he still has enough in the tank here as folks are staring down the barrel of the Roto leagues that maybe they have him on roster? Do you think he's somebody to roll out there each and every day, or do you feel like Donaldson's best days are behind him and maybe this is a swing and a miss by the Cleveland Indians?
Well, I doubt a swing and a miss. I doubt they gave up much. Yeah, once again, it's an August 31st trade. I doubt very much they gave up anything. They didn't want to lose here. And there could be conditions in there. How many games does he play? You know, that sort of thing. Whatever it is. Like I said, I don't think there's anything they're worried about losing here. Is Donaldson done? I mean, no. The only question is health. Can he stay healthy? You know, but that calf injury that will not heal, and it's been almost 2 years now. They can't get it to heal. I don't think anybody knows. You know, when is he healthy enough now to join Cleveland? He's been in rehab for 3 days. You know, that's not very long. Yeah, you know, so is he healthy enough to play this week, next week, mid-September? You know, and now can he? The minor league season pretty much ends on Labor Day. You know, so he can't have any more rehab games after this weekend. You know, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday. Is he ready to play Tuesday? He's going to have simulated games. They're going to go extend his spring training. What are they going to do with him? It's very curious to see when he can play for this team. And for some fantasy owners, it'll be a decision. Because if you had DL slots, he may have been on your DL for months. I have him on at least one league, my home league, that I can think of, where he's on the DL. And I'll have a decision to make here. You know, do I want to plug him back in there? Like the lineup he's going to be in. Like a team he's going to be in.
Sure.
On. So I'm going to be – I am curious. I think he'll be on the waiver wires in quite a few leagues. Because even though you stash him on a DL, a lot of us play in leagues where you have limited DL slots, 2, 4, and with everybody and their mother being on the DL this year, you had to make a lot of hard decisions really hard decisions about really releasing someone on a DL. Dan, I'm a big proponent of unlimited DL. I think it's silly that we limit DL spots.
Oh, definitely. George, I'm in a home league. No, I'm in a home league where I had 7 to 10 guys go on the DL, and I have to drop them. Like, I have to drop guys, and I'm dropping guys like Rafael Devers, and I'm dropping guys who legitimately should not be in the waiver pool. Now, Devers is, a middling third baseman, but in a deeper league, he should be owned. And I'm fed up with the league, to say the least, that there are no DL slots, none. And so it just becomes way too tough a task to figure out who you're dropping and why you're dropping them. But they hit the 10-day DL, and you need someone on the roster. You said before you don't want to take a zero. Same in fantasy baseball. Like, running somebody out there because they're on the DL or because you just don't want to drop them is awful. It's not the way to go. I get not wanting people to stash players on the DL, like to overdo it. So unlimited, I can understand the arguments against, but I'm for that. I'd say at least give me a variable amount of DL slots. Don't make it 3. Give me 5 to 7 at least. If it needs to be unlimited, great, but it's been tough this year. As you said, everybody's been on the DL at some point, and I've had to drop way too many players that I would have had on my roster right now in that league.
Baseball has changed. The 10-day DL from 15-day DL has changed. People now, teams now will protect their investments, especially with pitchers. What, you're going to miss a start? Well, put him on the DL. Doesn't make any sense not to. He's going to miss 9 days anyway, unless they're going to bring him back early. If they're going to keep it in rotation, you're going to miss 9 days. You're going to miss one start. So it makes all the sense in the world for these teams to do it. They're being smart about it, protecting their investments. Fantasy has to realize we need to do things as well. I get it. Like you said, I understand why people don't like a lot of DL slots. You know, because I'm not worried about stashing, by the way. Your rules are simple. Once the player's activated, you need to release somebody. It's really that simple. I mean, so you're not stashing anybody. He's on with DL.
George, I'm gonna cut you off. We have, and it's from his verified account. Looks like Ian Rappaport is reporting the Bears are now expected to trade for star Khalil Mack.
Okay. That doesn't
no
really...
No more details, but...
We did hear early in the week that the Raiders want the 2 number 1s. Now, I'd be very surprised if they got 2 number 1s. You know, very surprised. So, are we talking a one? And once again, this is what I always get curious about. What did they give up for him here? And, man, this is the Bears were probably not the team I expected to go after him or be willing to give up a major piece and pieces for him. But I'm curious to see what the final tally was here. So much for those Raider announcers, by the way, right? Which is not once again, not a surprise, because I'm sure Oakland was keeping this to the vest. If they make it sound like they don't want to trade him, everybody thinks the price gets higher. You know, so it's you're playing a silly little game here. Why did the Raiders not want Khalil Mack?
Every rumor is that he and Gruden, quote, did not have a relationship. And that just boggles my mind.
Why?
Because it's John Gruden. I'm already tired of him. I'm already tired of all the hokey BS stuff he does with the media. I'm already tired of him signing every possible old wide receiver that doesn't have skill set anymore. It's terrible to want someone to fail, but just watching what the Raiders have done and bring Gruden in for that much money for him to just be like, statistics don't matter. Advanced metrics don't matter. I'm going to do what I do. I want them to fail so miserably this season. Like, it is so terrible. It's bad. I acknowledge that I'm a bad person for it, but I want the Raiders to go 0-16.
What are the two hardest things to get in professional football? A franchise quarterback and a pass rusher.
Yep.
And you've just traded one of the best pass rushers in the game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I understand he's not J.J. Watt in his prime. You know, I get that. But he's far from, this is surprising to me. Not that they traded him, but that they never even tried to sign him. Whenever I see this, and, maybe it's purely about money, but the Raiders could have fit him under the cap. They could. They could have. It wouldn't have been a problem. Or not a major problem, anyway. Is there something else here that we don't know about? Guys, the first thing I always think of here when I see a major player like this, this is a major deal. You know, this kind of play gets dealt. Why? Is it all about Gruden and him not getting along? But they barely talked. How can you not get along with someone if you don't even talk to them? Which apparently from all reports, they haven't. So it's I don't know. Strange here.
Well, is it like the what? Was it Marquette King who basically was cut because they didn't think his personality would vibe with Gruden's? The punter, one of the best punters in the game. Yeah, that's exactly.
He didn't like a punter being a showboat. That's old school thinking. You know, and Gruden is old school. I get it.
Give me the bat flips. Give me the bat flips. Give me the celebrations. Give me players who care about the team they play for and want to get the fans excited. I'm so tired of the old guard trying to tell us, the fans who are now pouring money into the leagues, how these players should be playing. It's so frustrating when they think the game has to be played a certain way. And you said before about fantasy football that it should be fun, right? They're playing kids' games. They're wearing pajamas most of the time. Like, baseball players wear pajamas on the field. Football players are wearing, but like, come on, guys. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy personalities in the game. Let's enjoy guys who go out there, bust their tails for our entertainment. And modern day gladiators who give up their bodies every day, let's let them have personalities. Let's let them have fun and enjoy themselves within the context of the game. Don't break the rules. Don't go, you know, beyond what the rules are, but have some fun. It pisses me off to no end. But Khalil Mack looks like he's going to the Bears. We'll keep an eye on whether Ian Rappaport or Schefter or Pelissero, one of these NFL insiders, has the exact details of the deal as the show goes on. We were talking about Josh Donaldson there before I cut you off. George, and I do agree with your assessment about injury. Gio Gonzalez is a not surprising that the Nationals went full dismantle because they just weren't getting it done this year. Obviously, things were not clicking for them. But Gonzalez going to the Brewers, not really somewhere I saw making a move. I know the Brewers have had a very solid season and one that has been a bit eclipsed over the past couple weeks by the run that the St. Louis Cardinals have gone on. Trying to battle their way back here to be of relevance in the Central and also there in the wild card as they are tied for the second wild card as of right now. You do have the Cubs, St. Louis, and Milwaukee all in what within four games of each other in Central. Do you see Gio Gonzalez as a game changer as a daily fantasy player and as a season-long owner? Gio's numbers don't really show how bad he's been. Like, he's had a rough year and has had given up a lot of decent contact, more fly balls than he typically does. Do you like Gio in Milwaukee, or are you somebody who would prefer to stay away from the lefty the rest of the season?
Oh, I'd stay away. I think if you're an optimist, the only thing you hope for is that, okay, now he's in a playoff race. Maybe that wakes him up. That's it. Other than that, he's going to a much worse ballpark to pitch in. You mentioned he's been pretty poor all season long, at least certainly the last couple of months. I don't see that getting better. You know, so I'd have to be pretty desperate. And listen, this Milwaukee was desperate, by the way. They needed a starting pitcher here. And you look at that. I don't know how they're in playoff contention with Julius Chacin, Chase Anderson, Wade Miley, Junior Guerra, Gio Gonzalez, and Zach Davies. That's not your starters. I mean, really. There's not a one in there. There's not a two in there. You barely have some threes. So, I don't blame Milwaukee for doing it. And once again, they in all likelihood didn't give up much to get him. It's the best of what they could do. There was no pitching out there on the market. I'm a Yankee fan. Yankees would have killed for better pitching than they were able to acquire. There were no aces out there. If the Mets weren't dealing, it wasn't going to be out there this year. There was no Justin Verlanders. So I don't blame Milwaukee for making the move here, but I don't think this drastically improves their team. You know, St. Louis right now is a runaway train. Do they lose anymore? I mean, ever since they fired Matheny and went with Schilt, all of a sudden this team has woken up. You know, sometimes a managerial change does work.
When they're as bad as Mike Matheny, yes, they do. He was just that the lineups he would run out there. Like, and listen, I know as fantasy owners and fantasy analysts, we can get on here and talk about, oh, if I ran that team. I'm not one of those. I'm not somebody who thinks I can go in and manage a football team or a baseball team or be a GM. But watching Mike Matheny coach that team was so infuriating that like just the lineups he would run out there, the moves he would make, and it was just to a point where even St. Louis fans were like, what the hell are we doing? Like, why is he still managing this team? Get him out of here. And all of a sudden, you put a new face there. You have a new voice. And they start moving forward. I do want to just note, Kenley Jansen got his first save since coming back from the irregular heartbeat. Obviously, a scary story there that he's dealing with that physical problem. But it does seem as though, George, I don't know if you saw the story, that he was on anti-anxiety medication and that he felt as though, I don't know which medication, but that he wasn't able to get as pumped up for the game when coming in because of the medication. So you hear all the time about the closers can only pitch the ninth. It's a certain breed. And I kind of call BS on that a lot of the time. But he did specifically say that he ran out on the field three times while taking this medication and just didn't feel it, like didn't feel the pressure to perform, and his body felt fine, but he just didn't feel that extra juice. Do you buy into that narrative that, you know, that can happen to a closer, that is a legitimate thing, that maybe when they're moved out of the role, it is something that is palpable, something that they use to pitch in the ninth inning?
I mean, I get it, the extra adrenaline of the ninth inning, closing out the game, and that's your job, and I understand it. It's kind of ridiculous to me. You know, you don't have it when you come in the eighth inning. As a fantasy owner, I hate when my closer comes in the eighth inning because there's a good chance. Oh, Christ, here it goes. Two-thirds of the inning gives up four runs on six
15
hits.
15 ERA.
The adrenaline, right. Drives you insane, especially in head-to-head leagues. You know, you don't like seeing that. I think, like I said, I think it's – you can't blame the manager. The guy needs work. Because then what do you hear? Oh, he has a pitch in a week. He blows the save because he didn't have work. So it's tough on the manager as well. But Jansen was interesting because first thing I thought of, did he stop taking this medication without doctor's permission? It's the first thing I thought of. I mean,
he was given permission.
All right, good for him, because I was like, wow, that's strange. Last night he was throwing gas. He looked good again last night. So maybe he's back now. He had this problem before, too. The last time he had the irregular heartbeat a few years back, also, it took him a little while to get started. You know, I imagine the same exact situation here. So, you know, I write the closer report for Roto Experts, and I'll tell you what I wrote. There's nothing you can do. If you own Jansen, unless you have an extremely deep closing core where you can sit him, or you're up by a gazillion saves where you're not worried about anybody catching you, and or you can't catch anybody, you were starting him. There was little else you could do. And if you're a fantasy owner of Jansen, you saw him last night, looked good, you can probably relax a little bit.
Yep, but I have him. I think you're over in the great fantasy baseball invitational, right? That Justin Mason runs. You play in that league, right, George?
It sounds familiar. I'm in so many leagues. I have no idea.
You're in it. I think you're in it. It's the like 13-14 league. I have Jansen. I went double barrel elite closer in a Roto league just to have some fun. I went Chapman and Jansen. That did not work out the way I was hoping it would with ERA and WHIP, but nonetheless, middling team there. But plenty still to get to on the show. I do want to remind you to get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week, and it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite FNTSY sports radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER, WINNER, to get 10% off on the exclusive package and set aside a spot on the mantle for the 2018 championship trophy. So much to get to here on this Saturday. College football is up on deck today as well. I'm a big fan therein. Across the season, you guys will hear me talk about Rutgers football. I do apologize for that, but they kick off their season today against Texas State. That big power of Texas State coming into Piscataway to take on the Scarlet Knights, but plenty here on FNTSY about college football coming up soon. George and I have another hour. We will talk more about the NFL. We'll go through some more baseball talk as well. Plenty to get to as we go through the world that is fantasy sports. And we'll keep an eye on that Khalil Mack trade, see if we get word on exactly what the Chicago Bears have given up and what pieces may be going back, assuming it will just be draft picks. Again, plenty to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz, looking for you. Find us at 844-843-6879. Give us a call. We're ready to talk to you here on Fantasy Sports Today.